Are you ready, Wade?
Yep, I'm ready to go.
Are you ready, Brian?
Good morning. I am Timothy Dawson, an administrative law judge designated by the Office of Administrative Hearings upon the request of the Public Service Commission to serve as hearing officer for this hearing. I will be issuing recommended findings of fact, conclusions of law, and a recommended order for the Public Service Commission. This is North Dakota Public Service Commission case number PU-24-311. Make sure you turn off your or silence your cell phones at this time. There's a sign-in sheet going around, and make sure you sign in on that as well. And if it works its way back to me, that's great. This is the hearing on the application of Grayson Mill Operating LLC regarding a pipeline project for a consolidated application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit. The pipeline project is for an 8-inch crude oil transmission pipeline of approximately 14.72 miles in length, operating between the existing Oney and Alexander crude oil terminals in Williams County and McKinsey County, North Dakota. Let the record show that it is December 10, 2024, and 9:01 a.m. at the Little Missouri Inn and Suites, Watford City, North Dakota. This is the time and place set by the Notice of Filings and Notice of Public Hearing issued by the North Dakota Public Service Commission on November 7, 2024. The Notice of Filing and Notice of Hearing for this hearing specified the following issues to be considered and determined at this hearing. The issues to be considered in the applications for Certificate of Corridor Compatibility and Route Permit are, number one, will the location and operation of the proposed facilities produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota? Number two, are the proposed facilities compatible with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources? And number three, will the proposed facility locations minimize adverse human and environment impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion? We will now have the parties make their appearances. Mr. Mann.
Thank you, Your Honor. Wade Mann with Crawley Fleck, appearing on behalf of Grayson Mill Operating LLC. Present with me at the table is Adam Novelli, Director, Infrastructure and Midstream.
Mr. Johnson.
Brian Johnson, Advocacy for the Air Advisory for Public Service Commission. And with me is Rob Frank, and I ask that if he has any questions, that he'd be allowed to ask questions today as well.
Seeing no objection, he will be allowed to ask questions as well. I don't see anybody in the audience that's from the public at this time, so I'll skip that portion of instructions to them, but if they show up, I'll give it to them later. Do you have any preliminary remarks or matters or motions, Mr. Mann?
Yeah, I do, Your Honor, just a couple things. First, so I'm intending to call two witnesses. Carrie Morgan will be witness for the company, kind of addressing the project in general and, operation of the line, safety features, things like that. And then Danny Marguerite will be the second witness, and he'll testify as to environmental-related issues relating to the project. And then just one thing I did want to point out, too, so you may hear references to Devon Energy. Devon Energy acquired Grayson Mill Operating, but Grayson Mill Operating is still an ongoing entity and is the applicant, and that's the entity that is still seeking the permit in this case. They're active and good standing with the state, so just wanted to point that out. If you hear references to Devon, it's same as Grayson Mill in this case. I do have 8 exhibits that I'll intend to offer, and I did provide those to Mr. Johnson, Mr. Frank previously. You should have a copy up there with the exhibit list. It's exhibit 1 is the application. Then exhibit 2, it's just a map of the route, and it's the same map that we've got up on the poster board there for the public to view if there is any. Exhibit 3 just shows the location of the valve improvements on either side of the river. And then exhibit 4 kind of isolates the valve location on the west side of the river, aerial image of that. And then Exhibit 5. We've got kind of a plat of that West River site. And then Exhibit 6 is the facility response plan. And that's a fairly extensive document, but we've got that contained in the packet. Exhibit 7, that's just some communications correspondence with Department of Water Resources relating to the sovereign lands permit for crossing the river, and then some communications where Department of Water Resources confirmed that there's no additional requirements for the minimal construction that's going to be associated with returning this line to service. And then finally, Exhibit number 8 is the certification relating to order provisions. Grayson Mills offered some proposed revisions, and we'll kind of go through that. But those are the 8 exhibits I intend to offer. And then just one more thing, just to provide a little bit of context for you, Your Honor, on this. This is, it's somewhat unique, not obviously not unprecedented, but this pipeline, it's an existing pipeline in the ground, constructed in 2012. And I know initially, you know, commissioners had some questions, you know, as to how we arrived, you know, in the situation where it's not currently permitted. And Mr. Morgan will kind of address that a little bit, but I just want to kind of upfront provide a little context to you. The line was constructed in 2012 by another company and was in service for a while, end of 2017, early 2018. At that point, it was taken out of service. Then, you know, approximately 3-4 years later in 2021, that's when Grayson Mill acquired the pipeline, and acquired the pipe, not just the pipeline, but it acquired all the assets of Equinor, who was the owner of the pipeline at the time. And then in evaluating the assets, looking at, you know, everything, including this pipeline, determining that they may want to return it to service, realized that it probably met the jurisdictional threshold as a transmission line. And because of that, you know, if they wanted to return it to service, would need to get it sited. And that's kind of how we arrived at where we are today. They don't, you know, as far as, you know, why it wasn't permitted earlier, they just really don't know. I mean, can speculate, but that, I don't know if that really helps anybody. But that's where we're at. So I just want to give you a little bit of background and context on the line and kind of why we're, you know, seeking the permit at this point in time. And then I guess back to the exhibits with respect to those. If PSC council and staff has no objection, it might make it more efficient if we would stipulate to admission of those exhibits up front if they're okay with it, and, Your Honor, if you're okay with it.
Okay. Do you have any objection to any of those?
No, Your Honor.
You think there's any work that's going to be done on Exhibit 8 today on the certification, which we want to keep that open until we get to the end? Or
We could do that. I have had a chance to review it. Upon initial review, I don't see any issues with it, but we could wait to admit that one until after we chat about it.
Yeah, and I guess, Your Honor, Mr. Johnson, my thought on that is, you know, if there are questions, we can have them addressed. And then ultimately, that's an unsigned copy with the redlined versions. Ultimately, if everybody's in agreement upon that version, we can get a clean copy of that executed and filed with the commission.
Okay. I'm going to admit Exhibits 1 through 8 into evidence for this hearing, and since it's not signed, it has to be dealt with later anyway.
Sure.
Okay. With that, Mr. Mann, you may call your first witness.
Kerry Morgan is my first witness.
Mr. Morgan, I'm required by law to tell you the penalties for perjury in this state. Perjury is a Class C felony punishable by a fine of up to $10,000 or a term of imprisonment of up to 5 years or both. Do you understand what perjury is and the penalties for it?
Yes, I do.
Understanding so, do you promise or swear that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
With that, Mr. Mann, you may begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. Kerry, can I have you state your name and give us your business address?
Kerry Morgan, it is 840 West Sam Houston Parkway North, Suite 300 in Houston, Texas, 77024.
And Kerry, what's your current position with Devon?
I am the PHMSA DOT specialist.
And can you briefly describe for us your educational background and work experience?
I have a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration from the University of Southern Mississippi. I also hold a NACE certification as a senior corrosion technologist. And from 1979 until 2013, I was employed with Transcontinental Gas Pipeline Corporation, which is now Williams Gas Pipeline Transco, in various positions: laborer, pipeline construction, pipeline tech, measurement tech, pipeline integrity tech, supervisor asset integrity, team leader pipeline integrity, senior technical specialist, manager pipeline integrity. In 2013, I retired and started a consulting business. From 2013 to 2019, I was the owner consultant of KLM Pipeline Integrity Solutions. I worked with clients on their PHMSA required plans and manuals review and revisions, PHMSA and state annual reports, audit preparation and support, national pipeline mapping system updates, internal line inspection analysis, internal line inspection remediation prioritization, and project management. From 2019 to 2021, I was the principal consultant, PHMSA DOT compliance, for Equinor. In 2021 to 2024, I was the PHMSA DOT specialist for Grayson Mill Energy, LLC. And from September of 24 to date, I'm with now with Devon as the PHMSA DOT specialist.
Okay. So, Kerry, it sounds like you've pretty much been involved with pipelines and pipeline safety your entire career.
Most of it, yes, sir.
What are your current duties and responsibilities with Devon?
With Devon, my duties revolve around compliance with CFR Title 49, Parts 191, 192, 194, 195, 196, and 199. That includes operations, maintenance, and emergency preparedness, damage prevention, facility response plans, drug and alcohol requirements, integrity management plan, corrosion control, annual reports and national pipeline mapping system submittals, NDIC submittals for pipelines.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and give us a description of the proposed project?
With the project, we're wanting to return to service approximately 14.72 miles of existing hazardous liquid pipeline from the Oney Terminal in Williams County to the Alexander Terminal in McKenzie County. The pipeline was constructed by Brigham Oil and Gas LP approximately around 2012, and it's my understanding that the pipeline was drained, cleaned, and filled with nitrogen in late 2017 or early 2018. In January of 2021, Grayson Mill acquired the pipeline as part of an acquisition of all of the North Dakota assets of Equinor Energy, the owner of the pipeline at the time. After acquiring and evaluating the pipeline, Grayson Mill ultimately decided to return it to service for reasons I'll discuss in a moment. Upon evaluating the pipeline for a return to service, Grayson Mill determined that it was a transmission line that would need a route permit and corridor certificate from the PSC.
And, Kerry, I think you'll touch on it in a little bit, but just wanted to confirm, in addition to returning this line to service, there are going to be some valve site improvements,
yes.
Is that correct?
There is an existing valve on the east side of the Missouri River that we will replace with an updated valve, and then we will install a new valve on the west side of the Missouri River.
Sure. And then the route for that line, that's what's depicted in Exhibit Number 2, and it's also on that big board behind you as you enter the room?
Yes.
Okay. Can you explain for us the need for returning this pipeline to service?
Bringing this pipeline back into service will allow us to transport crude between Alexander Terminal and the Oney Terminal across the river, and then the direction of flow will be dependent upon market conditions.
Okay. Can you briefly describe the infrastructure that will be used for the project?
The existing Oney Oil Terminal in Williams County, the Alexander Oil Terminal in McKenzie County, North Dakota, and approximately 14.72 miles of 8-inch outside diameter API 5L X42 pipe with various wall thicknesses including 0.219, 0.250, 0.312, 0.322, 0.344, 0.375, 0.438, and 0.500 wall. pipelines connecting the two terminals. It was constructed in 2012 by Brigham Oil and Gas. The majority of the line pipe is 250, 312, and 322 wall thicknesses, with the river crossing being 500 wall thickness. The pipeline's been inactive since 2017, prior to the Equinor acquisition. Grayson Mill is seeking to bring the pipeline back into operation.
Okay. And you did touch on a little bit earlier, but can you briefly describe for us the improvements to the existing infrastructure that will be utilized for the project?
We're going to replace the existing isolation valve on the west side of the on the east side of the Missouri River and install a new isolation valve on the west side of the Missouri River. Automated valves at Alexander and Oney oil terminals will close if a leak is detected. In addition to these automated valves, the new manual isolation valve on the west side of the river and the replaced valve on the east side of the river will be closed to further isolate the river crossing segment.
And Kerry, what's the status of right-of-way and any easements for the project?
With the project being to return an existing hazardous pipeline system, we'll be utilizing that existing right-of-way. Also, we have acquired an easement for the new isolation valve on the west side of the Missouri River with a permanent easement of 75 feet and an additional 25 feet of temporary workspace. Total surface area subject to disturbance is a 75 by 100-foot rectangle centered on the existing pipeline.
Okay. And, Kerry, if you look, you don't need to look at it now, but with respect to exhibits of what you're just talking about, those valve site locations, those are depicted further in Exhibits 3 through 5, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And can you describe for us any communications that you've had with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers relating to the project?
Glacier Peak Midstream, which is a Grayson Mill subsidiary, has secured the transfer of USACE NOW 2011-2353-BIS and consent of easement DACW 45-9-12-8007 from the Corps. In conversations that I've had with the Corps, they indicated that the construction permit would not come into play since we're not going to be doing any construction in or under the river. The consent to easement permit allows ongoing maintenance, and they consider the work we're going to do on the east side, replacing the valve and installing a new valve on the west side, as ongoing maintenance, so there will be no revisions to the consent to easement permit.
Okay. How about Department of Water Resources? Can you describe any communications that you've had with them?
The North Dakota Sovereign Land Permit S-1749 was originally issued to Brigham and transferred to Equinor for the sovereign lands adjacent to the Missouri River that the pipeline crossed. That has been transferred to Grayson Mill. By letter dated April 12, 2024, the Department of Water Resources sources confirmed that Grayson Mill does not require any additional approvals from DWR for the valve site upgrades.
And, Kerry, that correspondence, that's memorialized in Exhibit Number 7, right?
Correct? Yes,
and
yes.
Along with the sovereign lands permit?
Yes.
Okay. Can you highlight some of the benefits of improving and returning to service the existing pipeline?
Bringing the pipeline back into operation will provide additional markets for crude oil produced in the state while not requiring construction of a new pipeline. Use of its existing infrastructure will eliminate the need for additional surface disturbance. Upgrading the existing pipeline with additional safety features will result in only minor surface impacts, including activities to install the isolation valve on the west side of the river and replace the isolation valve on the east side of the river. Use of the improved existing infrastructure to create additional capacity and allow for distribution of the state's national resources to additional markets without negatively impacting the environment is a positive for the state.
Can you give us an update on the project schedule?
We anticipate to start construction in quarter two of 2025 with a completion date of quarter three in 2025.
And, Kerry, will that require any winter construction?
We are not anticipating any winter construction to be required.
And do you have an anticipated in-service date for the pipeline?
end of Q3 in 2025 is our goal.
And what are you looking at for estimated cost?
$101 million.
Okay. And will the improvements that are required be conducted or constructed in compliance with applicable safety laws and standards?
Yes, the construction will comply with Title 49, Part 195, Transportation of Hazardous Liquids by Pipeline, Subpart C for design, and Subpart D for construction.
And can you highlight some of the technologies that will be used to satisfy the safety standards that you've just referenced?
Prior to operation, the pipeline will be hydrostatically tested in compliance with Title 49, Part 195, Subpart E pressure testing, and internal line inspection will be performed in compliance with Title 49, Part 195, Subpart F, pipeline integrity management.
Okay. And can you describe for us your construction practices, with respect to how any surface impacts will be minimized and addressed at the locations where they take place?
Pipeline construction was completed in 2012 prior to GME acquiring. The installation of the valve site on the west side of the river will consist of the following. The location is flat cropland, and we do not anticipate any runoff. The permanent easement of 75 feet with an additional 25 feet of temporary workspace will be utilized for the valve installation. Topsoil up to 12 inches will be removed across the entire area, stockpiled on one side of the temporary workspace. We'll then hydrovac and verify the existing location and depth of the line. The existing pipeline will then be excavated, piling subsoil on top of subsoil. We'll install the new valve set, backfill and compact around the valve set, spread the topsoil back over the area, and then we'll seed it to the landowner's request.
Okay. Can you describe your environmental mitigation plan?
The Regional Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration plan is to provide guidelines to quickly, safely, and effectively respond to a spill. This plan is intended to satisfy the requirements of the Oil Pollution Act of 1990, OPA 90, and has been prepared in accordance with the National Oil and Hazardous Substances Pollution Contingency Plan and the EPA Region 8 Regional Contingency Plan. Specifically, the plan is intended to satisfy PHMSA U.S. Department of Transportation requirements for an OPA 90 plan, that's Title 49, Part 194, Occupational Safety and Health Administration requirements for emergency response plans, and the PHMSA DOT requirements for transportation of natural gas and other gas by pipeline.
Can you describe the monitoring system that the pipeline will have?
Volumes that leaving the Alexander Terminal will have a Coriolis meter at the booster skid to measure crude oil shipped in the pipeline. There will also be an inlet Coriolis meter to measure the received barrels from the pipeline to the Alney Terminal. If the received barrel versus shipped barrel percentage difference is outside the acceptable limits, plus or minus 2%, automated valves at Alexander and Alney oil terminals will close. In addition to these automated valves, manual isolation valves on each side of the river will be closed to further isolate the river crossing segment.
Okay, and will you conduct periodic inspections, surveillance, and maintenance of the pipeline?
Yes. As per Part 195 and other parts of Title 49, the annual PHMSA report will be done annually. The National Pipeline Mapping System submission will be done annually. The O&M Operations and Maintenance Plan review will be done annually. Emergency Preparedness Plan review annually. Public Awareness Plan review annually. Training to recognize safety-related conditions annually. Emergency Response Training annually. We'll review the Facility Response Plan and site-specific information annually. Pipeline patrol will be performed at intervals not exceeding 3 weeks, but at least 26 times each calendar year to inspect the surface conditions on or adjacent to each pipeline right-of-way. Methods of that inspection will include walking, driving, flying, or other appropriate means of traversing the right-of-way. Overpressure and safety devices and overfill protection systems will be inspected at intervals not exceeding 15 months, but at least once each calendar year. We'll inspect and test each pressure limiting device, relief valve, pressure regulator, or other item of pressure control equipment to determine that it is functioning properly, is in good mechanical condition, and is adequate from the standpoint of capacity and reliability of operation for the service in which it's used. Breakout tanks are inspected monthly. DOT valve inspections occur at intervals not exceeding 7.5 months, but at least twice each calendar year. We'll inspect each mainline valve to determine that it's functioning properly. Annual cathodic protection survey will be performed each calendar year, not to exceed 15 months. Rectifier critical bond survey will be performed 6 times each calendar year with intervals not exceeding 2.5 months. Non-critical bonds each calendar year, not exceeding 15 months. We'll monitor the isolation devices each calendar year, not to exceed 15 months, and perform an atmospheric inspection every 3 years, not to exceed 39 months. Pipeline Integrity Management 195.452, a written integrity management program that addresses the risk of each segment of the pipeline with 5-year intervals not to exceed 68 months. The internal line inspection for continually assessing the line pipe's integrity.
And Kerry, will the personnel responsible for the pipeline be trained in emergency responses relating to the pipeline operation?
Yes, in our operations and maintenance manual, section 5, emergency response training, it is Grayson Mill's operating policy to establish and conduct a continuing training program within the facility response plans to instruct emergency response personnel.
And does Devon have an emergency response plan in place for the project?
Yes, it's the Bakken Pipeline Facility Response Plan for the Gathering System Pipelines.
And Kerry, that's contained as exhibit number 6 in the exhibit packet. It's a really extensive document. I think, you know, some of the stuff you've covered may be contained in there, but can you just give us a general summary of that document?
It's a very detailed document, but it gives us an outline to go by as far as responding to incidents for spills, how to set up the management of a spill, how to limit the environmental impact of a spill, any danger to the public. There are extensive checklists and flowcharts that you can walk through so that our personnel are trained and prepared to respond to spills, both on the environmental side and the safety side to the public.
Okay. And Kerry, have you secured any necessary county permits?
At this time, we expect to access the new valve site utilizing existing roads and field roads, so we don't anticipate any county permits being needed.
Okay. And just one last thing with respect to the certification relating to order provisions that we have redlined that. You're familiar with that document?
Yes.
And the red lines that were conducted, what those primarily do is, you know, make some of those provisions prospective. Is that correct?
Yes, since the line's already existing.
Right. So you'll comply with, you know, agree to comply with all of those provisions going forward?
On any new construction,
right.
Yes.
And there were just certain of those provisions where you made the red lines, where you struck the sort of looking back. And is that because you just simply didn't have sufficient information where you'd have somebody who could certify to the accuracy of those statements?
Yes, on several of those, we have the records that came across, and a lot of those we have no firsthand knowledge, so it's hard to have anybody to certify that.
Understood. I have no further questions for Mr. Morgan at this time.
Mr. Johnson.
Thank you. Kind of working backwards, have you spoken with the county to ensure that there are no permits needed and verified that with them?
No, we have not.
Okay. Is that something that you guys are willing to do?
We will do that if we see we need to do improvements or anything that impacts the county right away.
Sure. And as far as the pipeline monitoring, I think you earlier stated that the flow in this pipeline can go either direction?
Bidirectional, yes.
And the monitoring for leak detection, that's compatible with directional flow and works the same?
When I was talking about that, I just went one way, but it's set up to monitor it both directions.
Okay. And the river valves, are those automatic closing valves, or did you state that those were manual
closing valves? Those are manual closing valves.
Okay. In the event that there was a spill, what's the estimated time for somebody to shut down those two manual valves?
Each terminal will be manned 24 hours, so we would have someone that could head that away, and I'm estimating 45 minutes to an hour for them to get to the valve to close it.
Okay.
After the automated valves at the terminal closes.
Is there a reason why you guys went with manual valves and not automatic closing valves?
The biggest reason is power infrastructure, where we're trying to get as close to the river as we can with these valves, and there's very little no power on one side, but that and reliability of anything else we could put in to have an automatic valve, whether it was solar or a generator.
Okay. I don't have any further questions. I don't know if Rob does.
Mr. Frank.
In the correspondence from North Dakota Game and Fish Department from July of 2023, they had recommended additional precautions implemented with the river crossing, including the pressure sensing valves as a possibility. I just wondered if there was any follow-up, if what you're installing has satisfied the Game and Fish as far as the recommendation.
That one I'm not familiar with. Unless somebody else is, I'll have to follow up and get you an answer on that one.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I had.
In the application, I see that the maximum barrels per day on page 4 is 50,000, and on 15, it's 100,000. And I was wondering, which one is it?
It's going to be closer to 50,000.
Okay. And it'll be operating at 20,000? Usually?
Normally at 20,000, yes.
In which direction usually? Is it just based on the market?
It's pretty much based on the market. If we can get a better price for it on this side of the river, then it'll move that direction. If we pick up a new market on the other side, we'll move it that direction.
Were there any problems with the pipeline before you bought it? Any leaks of note?
No, no leaks. There had been 2 internal line inspections done on it previously before we acquired it, with no major repairs being required either.
How will you do the internal line inspections?
We'll install the internal line inspection tool, a magnetic flux leakage detection tool. We'll install it, insert it on one end, run it to the other end. We'll probably do that with water, since we'll have the line out of service and be doing a hydrostatic test.
I have no further questions.
I have nothing further for the witness either.
Mr. Johnson.
So since this is a previously constructed line, I know you guys' as-built state that it's 48 inches, and when you do your river crossing, you'll be able to verify it there. When you do test the line, and I noticed that it does have a pig launcher's capability, is depth of cover or depth of pipeline something you're able to determine with a smart pig?
Yes. We'll run the inertial mapping unit with the smart pig, which will give us lat long, but it'll also give us elevation, but that'll be elevation of the center of the pipe. So it won't be the depth of cover from existing ground level to center of the pipe. It just tells us how far the center of the pipe is above sea level.
Okay. Do you have any plans for verifying depth of cover anywhere else along the line with, like, utilizing a vac truck at all?
Anytime that we would have to go and do any kind of work on the line that required us to expose the line, then, yes, we would record the depths.
Okay. And if there ever was a depth of cover issue, would you guys agree that you would correct that to the correct depth if it was ever discovered?
Yes.
Thank you. No, nothing further.
Mr. Mann?
Nothing further. Thank you, Your Honor.
And I have nothing as well. You may step down.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Mann, would you like to call your next witness?
I would. Thank you, Your Honor. Next witness is Danny Marguerite.
Mr. Marguerite, you were here for my previous admonitions as to perjury, so you understand what perjury is and the penalties for it?
Yes.
Understanding so, do you promise or swear that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
With that, you may begin.
Thank you. Danny, can I have you state your name and give us your business address?
Danny Marguerite with Carlson McCain. We're located at 16560 36th Avenue North, Suite 110 in Plymouth, Minnesota, 55446.
And Danny, by whom have you been employed and in what capacity with respect to this project?
I've been employed by Grayson Mill to assist in obtaining proper permits to site and return to service the pipeline in question located between and connecting the Ani Terminal in Williams County and the Alexander Terminal in McKenzie County.
And Danny, can you describe your qualifications with respect to environmental projects and permitting?
I obtained a PhD in Natural Resources Management from North Dakota State University and have over 9 years' experience in the environmental consulting industry. My title is Environmental Scientist, and I'm proficient in the identification of range, riparian, and invasive plant species, soil sampling and analysis, wetland delineation, and the technical writing of reports to convey this information. Specifically, I have completed environmental reviews for pipeline projects on behalf of Xcel Energy, Northern Natural Gas, and other companies in North Dakota and Minnesota, as well as environmental reviews for infrastructure projects, mainly roads, which follow a similar process.
Okay. And are you familiar with the environmental review on this project and the content of the application?
Yes, I completed the Natural Resources Survey and Report, and while I did not directly participate in the preparation of other aspects of the application, I have familiarized myself with the application and its goals, methods, and results.
Okay. And is the purpose of your testimony to address the environmental aspects of the project?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Including cultural and natural resource matters?
Yes.
Okay. And can you identify the study corridor and the survey corridor for this project?
The study corridor is a one-mile-wide area centered upon the existing pipeline alignment, and the survey corridor was a 250-foot-wide area centered upon the existing pipeline alignment.
Okay.
Both corridors begin at the Ani Terminal and terminated at the Alexander Oil Terminal.
Okay. And has a cultural resource investigation been completed for the project?
Yes. Class 1 Cultural Resources Inventory, otherwise known as a literature review, was conducted of records from the State Historical Society of North Dakota to identify previously completed cultural resource investigations and recorded cultural resources within the study corridor. Class 1 efforts were augmented with a Class 3 pedestrian survey of the survey corridor conducted in June of 2023. A cultural resource survey report completed by In-Situ Archaeological Consulting, LLC, is included in Appendix E of the application.
And what are the results of the cultural resource investigation?
Three previously recorded cultural resources were revisited, and two cultural resources were newly recorded during the Class 3 survey. Of these five resources, three were recommended as not eligible for the National Register of Historical Places, and no further work was recommended for them. Of the remaining two resources, one consisted of a prehistoric artifact scatter site lead that was listed as unevaluated, and in situ recommended no historic properties affected and no further work for that site. The other site consisted of a historic irrigation system site and was listed as eligible for this irrigation site. Avoidance was recommended by in situ.
Okay. And was the State Historical Preservation Office or SHPO informed of the project?
Yes.
And what was the response from SHPO after their review?
They originally concurred that there are no significant sites affected by the project, provided it takes place as described in the application. That concurrence letter is included in Appendix E of the application. This response was based on the original project design at the time of the cultural resource survey, which called for absolutely no ground disturbance. At that time, it was, I believe, going to not used for crude oil, it's going to be used for natural gas and therefore wouldn't need the western site valve. SHPO recently reached out after learning of the proposed valve installation on the west side of the river and requested more information to review that site in relation to the cultural resources identified. So this was provided on Thursday, December 5th, and a response has not been received yet. Updated plans were also sent to in situ for review and to determine their professional opinion. They responded that the valve site is close to but not impacting the historic irrigation site, which is currently a road ditch, and reiterated that their recommendation would be to avoid the resource. And again, the current plans do not intersect with the ditch. The proposed ground disturbance area is approximately 110 feet south of the ditch.
Okay. Has a wetland and water body inventory been completed for the project?
Yes. A total... Oh, sorry.
Sure. And go ahead. What are the results of that inventory?
A total of 14 wetlands, 4 man-made, 10 natural were identified. 2 water bodies, the Missouri River and an unnamed creek, were identified, as well as 7 ephemeral drains within the survey corridor. These drains are typically dry but convey water during high moisture conditions, however, not enough to support hydric vegetation and be considered a wetland.
And did you evaluate the project with respect to potential impacts to biological resources and habitat?
Yes. According to the Fish and Wildlife Service, threatened and endangered species have the potential to occur within the survey corridor. However, there were no federally listed species observed during the field survey. Numerous trees with the potential to provide summer roosting habitat for the northern long-eared bat were documented throughout the survey corridor. However, since there are no proposed tree removal activities, this project is not likely to adversely affect the northern long-eared bat. Grain fields, which may act as feeding grounds for migrating whooping crane flocks, were also observed. However, since there are no significant proposed land disturbance activities, this project is not likely to adversely affect the whooping crane. Where it crosses the survey corridor, the Missouri River is designated as a critical habitat for the piping plover, home of a documented pallid sturgeon population, and a potential food source for the roofer red knot. Since there will be no work conducted within or adjacent to the river, this project is not likely to affect those species. Native wildflower stands that may provide a source of nectar for the Dakota skipper were recorded through the survey habitat. However, field surveys confirmed the absence of good habitat. The survey recorded approximately 82% of the survey corridor with a designation of no habitat due to previous disturbance or open water. The remaining 18% was characterized as moderate habitat or poor habitat. However, since there is no significant proposed land disturbance, this project is not likely to adversely affect the Dakota skipper. A 1/2 mile line-of-sight survey from the survey corridor was performed to determine the presence or absence of nesting raptors. There were no raptor nests identified during the field survey. Noxious weeds were identified in 29 different areas, mainly consisting of Canadian thistle and burdock. The woody vegetation included 48 growth shrub locations and 166 tree occurrences. A majority of the shrubs identified consisted of chokecherry and silver buffaloberry. A majority of the trees identified consisted of green ash, Siberian elm, eastern cottonwood, and Rocky Mountain juniper.
And sorry, just before we move on, just to clarify with respect to trees and shrubs, none of those will be removed with any of the construction for the project, correct?
Correct.
And are there any exclusion areas, as described by North Dakota law, that have been identified in the survey corridor?
Yes, the archaeological sites mentioned earlier are located within the corridor. However, the resources identified will be avoided. In addition, the pipeline does cross the Missouri River, a designated critical habitat for the piping plover and pallid sturgeon. However, as this is a return to service, no impacts to the river are anticipated.
And were there any avoidance areas identified in the survey corridor?
Yes. Areas of geologic instability are present within the survey corridor. However, they are not intersected by the route of the pipeline and not within the location of the proposed valve.
Okay. Did you evaluate the project with respect to the PSC's selection criteria?
Yes. This route will not have a measurable impact to agricultural land, family farms, ranches, land suitable for irrigation, surface drainage patterns, groundwater, noise-sensitive resources, extractive and storage resources, wetlands, woodlands, communication facilities, human health and safety, animal health and safety, or plant life. due to the project consisting of a return to service of an existing pipeline with minimal proposed new construction.
And did you evaluate the project with respect to the policy criteria?
Yes, the pipeline route was selected to minimize impacts as required by statutes, rules, and regulations of the Commission. As appropriate, Grayson Mill may employ environmental consultants and archaeologists to assist with planning. Local farmers may also be employed for restoring the land following valve construction or other future activities. Grayson Mill is proud of its safety record in operation of facilities in North Dakota, is prepared to meet any emergency that should arise to minimize the impact of any pipeline failure. The operation of the pipeline conforms to DOT standards. As such, Grayson Mill maintains a rigid pipeline inspection program and periodically runs internal line inspection tools to find anomalies and perform repairs as required.
And what other permits or authorizations are necessary for the project, and what's the status of those?
The project will be completed in compliance with applicable federal, state, and local laws, regulations, and plans. As mentioned earlier, Glacier Peak Midstream LLC, a Grayson Mill subsidiary, has secured a transfer of the Army Corps permit and consent to easement. In addition, the North Dakota Sovereign Land Permit, originally issued to Brigham and transferred to Equinor for crossing the Missouri River, has now been transferred to Grayson Mill. And Grayson Mill has secured all right-of-way acquisition needed, including for the new valve site.
Okay. And in addition to the mitigation measures that you've already addressed, are there any other measures that will be undertaken?
The location of the proposed route is a function of the location of the existing facilities. Grayson Mill commissioned field surveys to address specific agency concerns expressed during consultations, inventory the resources present throughout the survey corridor, and define the location and boundary of resources that intersect the proposed route. Grayson Mill shall comply with the Commission's tree and shrub mitigation specifications. Field surveys did include a pre-construction tree and shrub inventory. As there will be minimal ground disturbing activities completed outside of existing facilities, clearing or removing trees or shrubs is not anticipated. There will be no ground disturbing construction activities within wetlands or water bodies. As such, no wetlands or water bodies will be impacted. Given that there will be minimal construction-related activities associated with the project, impacts to breeding birds are not anticipated. Once put back into service, the proposed project will operate continuously, transporting crude oil between the two terminals. Normal pipeline operations are imperceptible to the public as they are silent, buried, and therefore not visible, and only require minimal above-ground activity. Standard operating procedures for the regulated portions of the system will conform to DOT standards and requirements, and as such, periodic inspection and maintenance of the right-of-way will be conducted.
Okay. And Danny, there was some correspondence filed with the PSC by the North Dakota DEQ November 21st, 2024. Have you seen that letter?
Yes.
Okay. And will Grayson Mill comply with the recommendations that DEQ set forth in that letter?
Yes, they recommended minimizing fugitive dust, adverse effects to water bodies, impacts to human health and the environment, and spills that could impact groundwater resources. In addition, the DEQ reiterated that solid waste must be managed properly. It is our belief, due to the limited construction activities, as well as Grayson Mill's standard operating procedures, these risks will be minimized.
Okay. And Danny, since the filing of the application, have you followed up and reached out with additional correspondence to any agencies that you had not previously heard back from?
Yes, we reached out on December 2nd to all agencies that did not apply during the original mailing out. We haven't received any responses yet. In addition, we also reached out to the Attorney General, the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Commerce, the Industrial Commission, the Governor's Office, and the Department of Transportation. I believe it was an oversight that those were missed the first time. I think the list of agencies used were the same one used when applying for the Army Corps permit. So anyway, that was the source of the discrepancy, but we have reached out to them again on December 2nd.
Yeah. To date, have any local, state, or federal agencies objected to this project?
No.
And PSC staff had previously identified a list of project control documents for the pipeline and requested an update regarding the status of those documents. Why don't we go ahead and just walk through each of those documents and provide the update to the PSC on those documents and whether or not you believe those are required in this instance. So the first one was an emergency response plan. Does Grayson Mill have an emergency response plan?
Yes. As discussed earlier, Grayson Mill has a facility response plan, exhibit number 6, titled Bakken Pipeline Facility Response Plan, Gathering System Pipelines.
Okay. Another one was an unanticipated discovery plan.
Since the pipeline has already been installed, we do not feel this is necessary.
Okay. How about erosion control plan?
Since the pipeline has already been installed, we do not feel this is necessary.
Okay. And I guess just to clarify, I think Mr. Morgan did indicate sort of how that will be addressed with respect to the one sort of instance of surface disturbance at that valve site, correct?
Right. Yeah, I guess I was thinking for the pipeline.
Sure. Well. Yeah, understood. Yeah. How about stormwater pollution and prevention plan?
Again, yeah, for the pipeline as a whole, since it's already been installed, we do not feel it's necessary.
Okay. And Migratory Bird Treaty Act plan?
Since the pipeline has already been installed, we do not feel this is necessary.
And then spill prevention and control plan?
This would be included in Grayson Mill's facility response plan.
Okay. And how about revegetation plan?
For the pipeline as a whole, since it's already been installed, we do not feel it's necessary.
Okay. What about weed management plan?
Grayson Mill currently manages a weed program where weed spraying is conducted multiple times per year. Since the pipeline has already been installed, we do not anticipate a large increase in weed mitigation required. When the valve is installed, weed mitigation will be conducted as part of the weed prevention plan.
How about a dust control plan?
Since the pipeline has already been installed, we do not feel this is necessary.
Okay, and what about environmental training plan?
And this is included in Grayson Mill's facility response plan.
Okay, how about a baseline soil analysis?
Since the pipeline has already been installed, we do not feel this is necessary.
Okay, and so Danny, in your opinion, is the pipeline of such length, design, location, or purpose that it will produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota?
Yes, it is.
And is it your opinion that the pipeline's compatible, with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources?
Yes, it is.
And will the operation of the pipeline minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity?
Yes, it will.
And in your opinion, will its operation ensure that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion?
Yes.
I have no further questions.
Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Your Honor. Does the pipeline lay in any areas where there's any sort of landslide concerns or geologic issues that were identified?
Yeah, they were located in the survey corridor, but does not intersect the route of the pipeline. So they were within that 250-foot buffer. There was the landslide areas, yeah.
Okay. And you mentioned you guys have a noxious weed plan. Some counties require those, and I believe this sits within two counties. Have you checked with the counties to see if they require to have a plan filed and in place with them?
Not specifically. We did email notifications to them, and we haven't heard back from either of the counties.
Okay. And you're willing to follow up on that just to make sure that if it's required, you file one with them?
Yeah.
Okay. And then regarding some of the things that weren't filed because you guys didn't believe they were necessary, with the stormwater plan, is there a need for one to be in place for the new valve installation during construction of that?
I don't believe it passes the threshold of the size needed, but I can double check on that.
Okay. And I guess I think Rob has some questions as to maybe some of those others and the potential need for them, so I'll let him address those.
Mr. Frank.
Thank you. I understand. Would the company be willing to file some of those project control documents in case if in the future there's a need for them? I know that you've assessed that there's not a need right now, but that could be something that could potentially come about, and it would be nice to have that on file with the PSC.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to speak for them, but
yeah.
I would assume so. Well, if that's okay.
And then I had a clarifying question concerning the recent communication with the State Historical Society, just to confirm their initial idea was that there wouldn't be any construction was the issue? because it was natural gas.
Right.
Looking at the date of the correspondence for some of these agencies, and maybe this isn't, you wouldn't be able to speak to this, not the proper witness to have this information, but is there a possibility that there's confusion there with some of these agencies that didn't have a response? I know that they've been followed up, but I'm wondering if there's another wrinkle in here as far as they looked at that original project proposal, saw that there wasn't construction and some, and that they didn't do a follow-up to that. And I'm wondering if some of them would, I know we got Department of Environmental Quality responded, but just a follow-up in the way maybe to see if they understand that this has changed instead of that initial, because the it looks like the date mailed was back in 2023 in July for most of the agency correspondence. So I'd feel a little bit, I'd feel better if that wrinkle was explained to them, that the project has changed in nature.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Maybe yeah. That was how the how you reached out to them, but that would be good to confirm with them and make sure everything's good in light of how the State Historical Society responded.
So. Right. Yeah. I don't have the letter in front of me that we recently sent out, and I believe it mentions the valve site, but I will double check on that, make sure.
Thank you.
You had mentioned an historic ditch. What is a historic ditch? How does it come into existence?
I guess I'm not 100%.
Is it a road ditch? Or
well,
is it a,
it's a ditch it... along the road now, and it was listed as a historic irrigation site. So I don't know if it was previously used to...
Okay, I understand that it's outside of the any place that's being affected, but I'd never heard of an historic ditch before. It's I wouldn't go visit it for if there was a marker there or anything. Not at all. Anyway, Mr. Mann, any questions?
No, Your Honor. Okay.
If there are no further questions, you may step down.
Thank you.
Do you have anything else to bring before me and the commission?
No, that's all I have, Your Honor.
Anything else? Do we need a break, or do you want to talk about anything and take about a five-minute break, or do you just want me to wrap it up?
I don't think we have anything further to follow up on, so I don't see why we would.
Yes. I see, is that Senator Patton? Yes, Senator Patton's in the audience. Do you wish to... Okay, he's our public today. Thank you for coming. And so we don't have anybody from the public in the audience. I can see everybody here is from the company and the senator is here. So do the parties have any closing remarks, Mr. Mann?
No closing remarks, Your Honor. Just thank you.
Well, will counsel for Grayson Mills agree to prepare proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law, and order? Within
yes.
2 weeks, is that fine? About December 23rd, or because of the holiday, do you want December 30th, or? Or is there a date that works well?
Preferably the 30th would be better.
Okay.
On this one,
we'll make it December 30th. We don't have any late filed exhibits. I didn't hear. Am I missing any? I usually put a star by them. I have no stars in my notebook.
I don't think there's any late filed exhibits. There's just a couple of things, like the certification we need to follow up and finalize with the commission. I think we can handle those things in communications with them. I don't think there's anything else that needs to be filed as an exhibit, though.
Is that what the certification is? I'm trying to think of it. The certification is in here, correct? It's number?
Exhibit 8.
Exhibit
but
eight.
It's currently not signed. We just needed to finalize the language. And once the commission was good with that language and the parties were in agreement on the final document, we'll sign and file.
Okay. Well, I'll admit it into evidence when it comes in if there's no objection to that. And I'll keep the record open for that document as well. And I don't see any other reason except for the findings, fact, conclusions, law, and order to keep the record open. So once those two things have occurred, we'll close the record. And I'll close the hearing right now, unless there's anything else to add. It is 9:59 a.m. on December 10th, 2024, and the hearing for PU 24311 on the application of Grayson Mill Operating LLC for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit is closed.